Hello friends, I promised myself I wouldn't put anything out until I've taken care of my financial needs and all that, and I'm not done yet, I'm still busy, but just felt like, you know, I wanted to connect with my truth-seeking friends. So I don't know if I will put this out or, you know, wait until I've got, really a whole show. But today is late night, May 3rd, 2022. And, you know, last I reported on the whole Ukraine-Russia crisis, and I still stand on what I've said, and I continue to see evidence that more and more, what I said was accurate. And now so many other things are happening that we need to discuss. And, I'm like at the top of, funny, I've got like my little secret spot at the top of my, parking garage actually. And so, security's never messed with me, but they just roll by to take a look at me. So hopefully I'm okay here. But, I wanted to let you know that, you know, even when I'm quiet online at times, I'm still very busy out here telling the truth. And, I'm having many conversations with people in person. As I've mentioned, it's so good to connect with people in person, because even if they can't believe you right away or, you know, whatever, they could still see that you care about them, that you're not crazy, and they're able to go away thinking, or you're able to have a conversation. And you know, really, our the first American Revolution really started over conversations in the pub and in taverns, you know, over a, you know, I probably some mediocre beer. Kind of say that jokingly, because it's said that Samuel Adams really never succeeded in his brewery. He never really succeeded as a tax collector either. He was a tax collector that failed to collect taxes. Basically, he was semi-unemployed and struggling and in debt himself. But the one thing he was good at was revolution. So, and I know all of us are here for such a time as this. And I think for a lot of us, most of our lives, we wondered exactly what it was for. You know, especially those that have a heart for justice. Sorry, I'm after going down the stairs because security keeps looking at me. So, to give up my little seventh floor spot. It's chilly anyway. But, you know, as we find each other, I'm grateful for the connections that we're making. At the same time, I am losing friends and family. And I just heard about this guy, I think Mitchell is his first name and Gerber is his last name, but he goes by a middle name as well. This guy, Jeffrey Prather had him on his show, and this guy has spent 22 years fighting for the innocent people of China whose organs are being harvested. And, you know, praise God, like in the last year, he's been able to appear on Stu Peter's show. He just appeared on the Prather Point a few months ago. He did Mike Adams. I guess he also did Alex Jones's show. But guys, this is after 20 years of trying to get the truth out there. And praise God, he's finally doing it. But it's sad, because I think I too have mentioned to many people before that there is a man that defected from China who was forced. He was forced to perform one of these surgeries on an innocent person for their organs. And I don't know if that innocent person was a Uyghur Muslim or a practitioner of Falun Gong. But these are innocent people, peaceful people, who need an international voice. They don't believe in physically fighting, and so they're dying at least by the thousands, but I'm afraid it's at least tens of thousands, if not getting into hundred thousands, maybe millions. I'll try and get an exact number, but over years, because this has been happening for decades now. You know, here in America, if someone needs an organ, they wait years sometimes. In China, it's a matter of days or months, because all they do is look in their, what I'm going to call, concentration camps. These are supposed re-education camps, which, mind you, they want to do here in America. And they search through the prisoners they want to get rid of, who are a match. And sometimes within days, they'll have that organ. And when you harvest people's organs, which they do while they're alive, so that the organ is fresh and alive and the blood is flowing, you murder them. And Westerners are ignoring this, and they don't want to believe it. And so that, I'm going to try and find out more about his story, and I'll give you his name, because his name needs to be known. But that surgeon I'm talking about, so he left China and escaped, horrified at what he was forced to do by the Chinese Communist Party. This is the one that did harvest organs out of a detainee. And I believe he fled to the UK, where he's now a bus driver. And it's just understandably shocking to him that people still don't want to believe this. And yet this poor man is traumatized at what he was forced to do. And I hope and pray that he finds Christ and finds forgiveness of his soul. It's absolutely available to him and anyone that's been forced to do such things. All one must do is accept it, so healing is possible. You know, if that person ever hears this, or anyone that's been in a similar situation. But, you know, as free Americans, who, yes, we are losing our freedoms, people that have a voice, we need to use it, first of all, before it's gone. Second of all, like I said, these are peace-loving people who need defending. They're not going to defend themselves, except for by peaceful protests. So somehow, we should defend them. And I know there's so many around the world who need our voices. You know, years ago, I said I want to be a voice for the voiceless. There's so many now. It's like, take your pick, you know? Maybe the organ harvesting victims isn't going to be your personal battle, but, you know, maybe the children being trafficked will be. Or how about the babies who, it's kind of amazing, I just met a person at a restaurant. It was the waitress, actually. I was having kind of a truther conversation with the host, and she was just bored and came over to see what we're talking about. And she talked about what happened today with Roe versus Wade. And honestly, I didn't know what side she was going to be on, but I was like, let me tell truth regardless. And I told her about the bill that, unfortunately, I think passed in California, where you could murder a baby up to 28 days old. And she's like, that's insane. I was like, of course, it's infanticide. I said, but why are they doing it? Oh, we need to understand why. They don't give a damn about your reproductive rights. You know, just like they don't give a damn about the LGBTQ community. There's an agenda behind it all. The agenda. And that's why people need to wake up. So pro-abortion people, LGBTQ people, Democrats, liberals, y'all need to wake up and see how you're being used. They don't give a damn about you. They have an agenda. And there's money to be made from the body parts and organs of these babies that are alive. And I hate to say it, and, you know, I can't care whether you believe me or not, but they eat these babies too. There is a black market for these babies so that they can be eaten. A lot of the rich people that you admire are into this human meat. I exposed this long ago, how they have gatherings and they fly in these chefs who know how to prepare human meat. And how easy it is for them to take advantage of a baby. And they like eating and defiling the most innocent of us all, because these are satanic monsters, really, that think they gain spiritual power by stealing it from the innocent. That's why they rape the young ones, the little ones. That's why they eat them. That's why they torture them. It's part of their disgusting spiritual practice. And at this point, if anyone tries to come against me telling the truth, if you doubt me without having done your full research, if you try to silence me, if you try to tell me, I'm wasting my time, whatever, you're part of the problem. You are part of the problem now because we've given you, well, years, really, to wake up. And there's a whole army of us that are waking up without you mockers and naysayers, or even you Christians that think you're so just and righteous because you choose to turn a blind eye to what's happening to other people, not only around the world, but in your own nations, your own states, and your own cities. And if you are a Christian, let me ask you, what are you here for? Why has God allowed you to draw your next breath? Either he's waiting for you to repent, and that's his grace and mercy on you, or he's leaving you here to help more people before you leave this earth. What else is there, folks? There's really nothing else. We're here to help other people, so why don't we do it? You know, I have Christians asking me who think... And I'm not saying this is in a spirit of self-righteousness, but they are asking in a way where they assume they already know the answer, which is, why do I waste time on this stuff? What good does it do by researching and studying? And I have an answer. I'm not lost, or I don't stumble to try and figure it out and try to justify myself. I know damn well why I do it. And that's to tell the truth. First of all, to wake you up. Second of all, so we could do something about it. The whole truth movement is not just so what? We could get likes, we could get views, we could sensationalize the evil and the corruption and make it entertaining. No. And if you think there is a truther that is leaning toward that, then maybe that's not the best one to follow. The truth movement is to wake us up and lead us to action, but we need unity. The forces of evil have gained so much influence and momentum now that we need to do the same and beyond that for our movement against them. Every truther and whistleblower that had to go out there on their own, and they should never have had to, but they did it because no one stood with. Too many of them are dead. And another reason why you guys haven't heard a whole lot from me since I last posted was because I've been grieving the death of Pastor Paul Obel, of Truth Unveiled TV, of the Faith Unveiled Network. You guys have heard me talk about prophetic voice Mark Taylor. They became good friends, both in their quest to tell the truth. And Pastor Paul was someone, you know, I just felt, man, I'd like him to be my pastor. I'd like him to be my spiritual dad, because he was a pastor that was brave enough to tell the truth in all things, including the trafficking, including the victims. And he dared to have trafficking survivor Madison Marquette on, whom, you know, I've talked a lot about. And Madison was the first one I heard who said, there really are tribunals happening. And guys, I'm still under the belief that something's happening of the movement that we want to see happen by the people we want to see moving. That story's not over yet, and that's definitely not hopeless. And Madison still stands on her words as well. And she's talked about more people that have stated this publicly as well. They're just not as well known because they don't show their identities, but Madison does. She's incredibly brave, and we pray for her safety. But Pastor Paul, at the end of last year, did, ironically, what I think he considered one of his most important episodes, and he had a panel of Christian truthers. Forgive me, I'm still out and about, and not by my computer, but off the top of my head, it was Chris McDonald of the McFiles Faith Network, Prophetic Voice, Mark Taylor, Dr. Etienne Graves, and another lady whose name is slipping my mind at the moment, but she's an intercessor. And basically they were exposing the concerns. So they weren't even directly calling them out, but they were talking about concerns that they were having about Clay Clark and the Reawaken America tour. Now, I don't even think they named it. They try not to name anyone. All they're doing is saying, guys, we need to question some things here. You know, like, why are there pyramids and all-seeing eyes, or at least what it does truly appear to be all-seeing eyes used often by Clay Clark? Now, I admit, at first glance or first listen, you know, I've been a listener of Clay Clark. He sounds like a young Christian. He's funny. His show was about business stuff and entrepreneurial stuff. But then just like many of us, he began to seek the truth and tell the truth, like, you know, with the COVID pandemic and all that. And then I'm sure you all know about the Reawaken America tour. General Flynn has been, well, almost everyone's been on this tour, actually. And I used to really want to go, and the tour actually came through my city, and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. Because there were rumors going around that people that were going to the tour were being attacked with a biological weapon. And it seemed something stronger than COVID. And it seemed to be only the people that had a large following. Okay, getting the picture. And so then people started questioning Clay Clark. My friend Diane Marshall of the Marshall Report has reported on this a lot. She fully questions him. She even questions General Flynn, unfortunately. And I'm not saying the verdict is out 100% for me on any of these guys. It's just we have questions is what I'm saying. And this is what Pastor Paul's panel was saying. These things need to be addressed. And that looks very suspicious. After that, you guys, Pastor Paul got so sick that he was unconscious. And both Mark Taylor and Madison Marquette and me feel at minimum it was a spiritual assassination because he never recovered. Now, he did go to the hospital. I think he had the typical organ failure that we hear about from these high-profile Christian truthers. Now, whether that came from Fauci's protocol, which we know is giving organ failure using the Remdesivir or not, I'm not sure. But he was eventually put on a ventilator, which we know was killing other people. So in Madison's opinion, yes, it was a spiritual assassination and the hospital finished him off. And my understanding is this was in Orange County, California. And we never got to hear from Pastor Paul again after that episode. And so after this, I would ask you to please go to Truth Unveiled TV. There's a YouTube channel. YouTube has tried to come against him in the past, but it is up right now. Thank God. There was one more video that was put out by a friend of his, basically just trying to address the concerns about where was Pastor Paul. But no public announcement really after that on his channel was made of his death. But lo and behold, just like the deaths of other high-profile Christians who were for medical freedom, it's as if the mockers in the Mockingbird media knew immediately when his death was. Which does make you wonder how connected the satanic cabal is, how connected with media, because how is it that just like other deaths of Christian truthers for medical freedom, the media seems to know it before their own followers, before the friends of their ministry. And so you will see mockers all over the internet, which is ironic because Pastor Paul talked about so many other things other than just the jab. In fact, I don't really recall him ever talking about the jab. I think, and he probably did. It's just when I think about the most memorable things, that's not what I remember. But I think because this is how media is reporting it. And so this one really hurt me. Like I was grieving for a while. I reached out to his beautiful wife. And I hope I didn't scare her because I asked her, you know, I wanted to know exactly what happened because I wanted to be able to present the whole story to you or, you know, whatever she would allow me to share. So right now I'm only sharing what's already been shared publicly, but I feel robbed. I feel like we needed Pastor Paul. And you know, there was this one episode he came out with and he said, look, if you have a voice and you feel like God's leading you to speak out, do it. Now is the time. And I'm sure like many others, I felt that that's what I needed to hear, you know, as we continue to go through more persecution and censoring and backlash and doubt and accusations from our, and judgments from our own friends and family. I needed to hear that. And that particular episode meant a lot to me. And so, because I feel Pastor Paul was someone like many were losing, actually, but was really such the spiritual father that this generation needed. Please honor him by going to his channel and keeping his teachings alive, and take to heart the things that he risked himself to tell us. And, you know, I'm not saying any of his family members or anything are saying that he was physically assassinated or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm going to continue to research, and if I could prove that he was, I will let you know. But at minimum, it was spiritual. And this is why the church needs to wake up. Jesus said, I have given you authority, you meaning the church, the body of Christ, to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That's what Jesus told us. So I have to go, and I'm saying this even about myself. Where is our power and where is our authority? Because if I didn't say it in the last episode, the Illuminati, the Satanic Cabal, whatever we want to call them, the secret societies, they teach their young people how to spiritually, psychically assassinate people from a very young age. And I'm talking like could be as early as like a toddler. This is something that's taught. And you know, the mockers, they'll laugh at that. Yet this is probably something they've taught for decades. And I think I told you guys, according to defectors, the head of all these secret societies is the Vatican, who acts on behalf of the Vatican is the Jesuit fathers. And you've probably heard the term the Black Pope. I still have yet to find out who holds more power, whether it's the public pope or the Black Pope. At this point, I'm starting to think it's the Black Pope, the one behind the scenes, that has actual more power. But I learned that when they're done with one pope and ready to move on to another, all they do is stand around him and they kill him. Just, I don't know, by whatever psychic, dark spiritual power. And that pope slowly or quickly begins to die. So my point being is we're supposed to have authority over that. We're supposed to be more powerful. So what are we missing? Well, first of all, we need to wake our people up. We will love our friends and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we will try to tell you the truth. And when you're ready to hear the truth, you come to us and let us know you're ready. But until then, we're going to have to shake the dust off of us and move on to the people that will hear the truth. Because we need to assemble an army that will fight for truth and justice. And first and foremost, it shall be a spiritual army. And we need to wake everyone up, and we need to unify, and we need to educate each other on what's happening. I mean, if there is a powerful force to be reckoned with, a powerful army, don't you think they would know the tactics of their foes? Don't you think they would know counterintelligence? How is it that so many Christians deny that Satan is even doing anything? You know, that's really his greatest lie of the century, is that he doesn't exist. It's worked wonders for the kingdom of darkness. And yet you tell people, and you see them suffering demonic attack, and they still don't want to believe it. And it seems evil has gained a foothold in every nation. And then you have the Christians that are like, well, it was bound to happen. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we knew evil would rise, but that doesn't mean goodness shouldn't rise higher. I mean, can you imagine the American Revolution if like, and I'm sure people said this, I'm sure they did. Well, you guys, you know, the tax isn't that bad. At least we have the protection from the king, from the crown. And I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying that's probably what they told themselves. Of course they didn't have protection from the crown. The crown was abusing them. Ironically, it was nothing like the abuses today. King George looks like a saint compared to our disgusting leaders today. So Yeah, friends, please pray for Pastor Paul's family. Yes, I feel we were robbed, but I know it is not the enemy that gets the last laugh. God will, and I trust that Pastor Paul is doing amazing today in heaven. And that he will return with our King of Kings, and he will be raised again in the last day, like all those that have gone before us. And so it is our responsibility to remember what he's taught and what he has sacrificed to leave us. Because whether you believe a biological weapon took him out or not, whether you believe he was a targeted individual or not, Satan obviously targeted. And I have to ask, what are we doing wrong that we couldn't? Why could our prayers, the body of Christ, save him? And you guys know, I had a hard time when Kim Clement died. I'm just like, no, he was too young. And I have friends that say, you know, God's not going to let them go unless it was time. I have definitely seen that for some lives. And I think I've told you guys, General George Washington was probably the most clearest examples of that. They just could not kill him, no matter what expert shooter was shooting at him. Nobody could take him down. And so maybe evil does come against some, and if the bulk of what they were called to do is not finished, God will answer our prayers. But if they finished much of what they were called to do, does he let them go like he did Kim? Like Pastor Paul? Obel is spelled O-E-B-E-L, like O-E-B-E-L. All I know is we need more power. We need the kind of power that will raise the dead. You know, that is what Jesus commanded us to do. And I'm not pointing fingers here. I haven't raised someone from the dead yet. I have prayed for it. I haven't had too many opportunities to do so. I do believe I raised a cat. I mean, I guess that's an easy one with their 9 lives. I'm just joking, but no, I think I might have raised this cat. So my roommate and I, we had 2 cats named Dodie and Diana. Dodie was a sweetheart, but Diana was like a witch, and she was actually named after Benicio del Toro. When my roommate was dating him, he named these cats. And one night when I came home late, Diana got out. Now, I didn't see her. We had to figure that, because the next day we couldn't find her. And as much as me and Diana didn't get along, this absolutely devastated my roommate. And for her sake, I prayed for the darn cat. And I prayed hard. And I said, because usually once an animal in that region, this was in the Anaheim Hills at the time, once an animal gets out for the night, it's eaten by wolves. I've even come face to face with a wolf. Thankfully I won that stare down, but it's a pretty creepy creature, to look into its eyes, just being honest. It's not like a dog. It'll eat dogs. And so I prayed. I was like, you know, even if Diana's dead, can you please raise her and bring her back? And after like so many weeks, I'll have to ask her how many weeks it took. Diana, the cat, sorry, I was walking by some construction, showed up at the door literally looking like she was raised from the dead. She looked horrible. And her feisty attitude was just gone. She looked terrible. But she came back. And even my roommate, who had grown up in that area, she said, yeah, there's no way a cat could survive that long on its own with packs of wolves out there that go hunting at night. So it was a miracle. So we need power. And we need to start raising people from the dead. And if you could just start with raising your animals around you, that's fine. Just start anywhere. And if we could raise people from the dead and allow resurrection power to move through us, this is what I'm thinking, then we could raise people from COVID and other bioweapons. You know, I know we're dealing with things the body of Christ has never knowingly dealt before, but why should we assume these things are too big for Jesus? Okay, is this our ignorance? You know? And if so, then this goes back to why it is so important for people to actually understand what's going on, to actually understand that remdesivir kills people, one of Fauci's drugs. Because what if someone doesn't know that? Are they even going to know how to pray? Are they even going to fight the doctor on it? You know, and you know, if you're hearing this and you allow that to your loved one, there's no shame. You know, it's not your fault. You didn't know yet, and you didn't know how to fight for your loved one hospitalized. You know now, so you could help other people. But the last thing people need who are awake to the truth is to feel shamed because they were lied to and they didn't know the truth yet. And those that are awaking to the truth, we need to welcome them with open arms and to help them heal. I could only imagine the burden and the temptation one would feel that this has happened to their loved one. You know, and I think I've told you guys, I've talked to pilots at work and they're like, you know, oh yeah, I got the job. I had to. I wasn't going to take any chances. You know, I saw like even young, healthy people dying around me. And then when I ask them, oh, well, would they put on a ventilator? And like, oh yeah. And then they died, not realizing it's the ventilator that's killing them. At least we know that's what's happening in America. Can't totally speak for other countries for sure. But if your doctors and hospitals are getting kickbacks for killing people or putting them on a ventilator or diagnosing them with COVID, even though they had a motorcycle accident, then you could probably safely assume your people are corrupt too. Because it is just shocking what people are willing to do for money. It is shocking how ignorant they will allow themselves to be. There are other injustices to report. I'm sure you guys are hearing them daily. One of our favorite, honest, truthful, and brave journalists, Liz Crokin, she's put out a couple personal stories lately. And I didn't know, maybe you guys did, but she's actually been in a legal battle that has been kind of separate from the fight for truth and justice for those being trafficked. And for those that don't know Liz Crokin yet, for those of us in the truther movement, she's mostly known for helping to put out the documentary film Out of Shadows. She also is the one that just helped put out the one telling the truth about the injustices done toward Britney Spears. And she's also the one that put out an article, which she made into a video called Trump Does the Unthinkable. And she talks about how in her days as even a gossip writer, she did have integrity, though, because people would try to tell her stories about Trump that were salacious and would have improved her career. But every time she would dig into it to see if it was true, it wasn't. A lot of the rumors we would hear about him were just rumors. They weren't facts. And so over the years, she already understood that Trump wasn't as evil as he's portrayed to be by his haters. And so she's the one that, you know, told some of the stories that are very, very little known, like about the things Trump would do, how he would read the newspaper and then like tell his assistants do something to help this person. And like it was some of the things that made me realize, like, wow, Trump's actually way more humble than I realized, as proud as he acts sometimes. When you realize how much he does without telling us, you actually see he's more humble than he appears. And he would do things like saving a widow's farm, you know, by paying off the debt, you know, just because he read that person was in need. Or someone stopped to help his limo that was broken down, and he just took it upon himself to see what he could do for that person, and I think paid the mortgage off on their house for them, you know, secretly. And I didn't, you know, tell them, I want to do this. He just did it somehow. Things like that. So Liz is the one that put those stories out, and she's just like today and yesterday told her own tragic story that I didn't know, that I believe this happened in Orange County, and she went to go do like a surfing lesson through Toes on the Nose, through the Hyatt hotels, where for some reason they didn't use a leash on the surfboard. And long story short, it caused the tips of two of her fingers to be severed off. I had no idea. And this was a rider. So, you know, with some of the disabilities that happened to me in the military, like, just like, I understand how it is, because I was a dancer, and like the very movements that I've needed, like I used to do flamenco, and I believe I would have, you know, gone professional if I didn't join the military, because I was, you know, top of my class, and just I have such a natural rhythm. But the ankle movements to do, like, you know, the hard and fast pounding movements that, you know, we would do with our feet in flamenco, I couldn't do that anymore, because I lost agility just due to stupid injury, due to negligence, really, which is what happened to Liz. And so here she's a writer, and she could hardly type. She has to use prosthetics. Anyways, long story short, Hyatt and Toes on the Nose not only denied any wrongdoing and any responsibility, but instead of just saying, you know, you are a customer and we're going to take care of you, and all this money that we could use to fight you, we're just going to use it to help you pay your medical bills and we're sorry. No. Instead, they used way more money to fight her and try and take her down. And it's been 4 years. So I want to ask you guys to no longer support Toes on the Nose and no longer support the Hyatt hotels, and let them know. And I also want to ask you guys to no longer support Etsy, whom I found would not support her products that said children's lives matter. So screw you, Etsy. We're gonna ban you. So guys, like, this is where unity is what brings us power, I guess, is partly what I'm saying in an influential political sense. And our forefathers would get somewhere when they would boycott something. And that's what we need to do. We need to vote or not vote where we put our money or don't put our money. So I already told Toes on the Nose, I know what they've done, and that I would let you guys know. Please spread the word. So Liz is taking donations now. She had never asked for money before. And I'm happy to say that money is pouring in. So she's doing okay right now. You know, maybe we could check on her in a couple months. You know, and make sure she's still being taken care of. But I also know her life has been threatened because she exposes the traffickers in government. She's the one that exposed Pizzagate, which is totally real. Dang, I've talked for a while now. There's a couple things I wanted to correct from my last two episodes. One is so minor, and I don't mean to be graphic by this. It's just, you guys know with what I'm about to say. You guys know I've given you my commitment to the highest levels of truth as possible. And I've promised you I'll always come back and correct myself if I find I'm wrong. But when I was talking about Kiki Camarena, the DEA agent that was tortured and murdered because he was finding out the truth between our own deep state government and the Mexican cartels, I had mentioned how he was tortured with a cattle prod and how he was sodomized. And I read more of his story, and it was actually with a broomstick. And again, like, I'm not trying to be graphic, I'm just trying to be correct. At the same time, it's important for people to be outraged enough to understand this is not only what the cartels are doing to Mexican citizens, but they've done it to multiple American citizens now. And this cannot be tolerated. And I'm so sorry I'm not president right now, because, man, not that an American president is all powerful. So we gotta have grace on, you know, guys like Trump that did what they could and is still doing what he could. But the presidency is not a tyranny, and there's purposeful, intentional limits to a president's power. But like I've told you, like, man, I would, first thing I do, I would pressure Mexico and be like, you know, you better give up these cartel leaders, especially the ones that have murdered Americans, or we're shutting down the border. Would tell China, unless you treat the Uyghur Muslims and the Falun Gong. Oh, sorry, guys, I'm just coming upon a funny little lizard here. Okay, sorry, I got distracted there. He's not moving, I hope he died, but... Yeah, so I would tell China, hey, look, you don't take care of your Uyghur Muslims in the Falun Gong, no more business with you. We're gonna cut you off. You'll do no more business in America. You will buy no more of our real estate. You will sell no more to American citizens, even through Amazon. Now, it's hard to put your foot down with something like that when, you know, fake Joe Biden is in office who's practically working for China. And, you know, it's funny, I have this neighbor that really enjoys talking to me, and I don't know if God allowed, well, obviously God allowed this, but I don't know if he allowed this situation just so I could hear what people say about me behind my back, which, by the way, God allows a lot for me to know things you would think I wouldn't know. So just know when you walk with the Lord, he will show and tell you things that others might think would be impossible for you to find out. But I heard him talking about me, I would say behind my back, but I don't think he realized I was in the room. And basically saying, this girl, she's way out there. She's talking about body doubles and, you know, all this and that. And I don't know, maybe he realized I was there but was just joking. But, you know, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, as the Bible says. So my point is, look, guys, don't get hung up on the fact that I told you I don't think that's the real Putin we're seeing. I don't think that's the real Joe Biden we're seeing. I'm only saying that because I feel like I'm lying when I call that person Biden or Putin or whatever. And in the end, though, it doesn't really matter, because it's not really Biden doing everything. It's the Biden administration. It's those that are pulling the strings of the administration. Though real Biden truly has serious documented corruption in the Ukraine. And I already spoke about this, and if you haven't gone to my blog yet about the whole Ukraine crisis, please, please do, because I've continued to update it, and I can continue to update it even more, you know, adding more links and proofs and things. So if you still can't take my word for it, go to every single link, then begin to form an opinion. But if you haven't done that, you really have no right to form an opinion because you haven't even looked. As for Putin, it kind of does matter because so many people seem to be hurt by Putin in the past. And if the evil we were told about him in the past was true, and that is why he was assassinated, I doubt some of it, but if that is true, those that have historically hated him need to know, it appears to me, we're dealing with somebody new. And to do your research, and again, like I've said, listen to what he's actually saying and look at actual actions, not what just what media is telling us he's doing. Okay, I'm getting back into my apartment building, so I gotta be quiet. I'll end this for now, but I'll come back again if I have more before I put this out. Okay, love you guys. Bye. All right, friends, I am back. It has been so long since I last recorded that. I wasn't sure I was going to put it out, so thank you so much for listening. It is now the end of June 2022, and I'm glad that this episode I could end with some good news, which I'm sure you've all heard that Roe versus Wade was overturned. Yes! Did I not tell you that I believed we could do this? Wow. Yeah. I wanted to cry when I got the news. 49 years of the murdering of babies in the womb. Some say it's been 62 million that were murdered. Some say it's up to 80 million that we've lost. Not saying that the war is over yet, because now the battle begins in the states. So to understand what the Supreme Court ruled, they're basically saying, and this is accurate, that Roe versus Wade was not constitutional. The Constitution, it is not written in the Constitution to protect your right to murder a baby in the womb, basically, which is accurate. It's not in the Constitution. And so still, you know, Marxist liberals are freaking out because, well, let's just break it down logically, which, you know, all their media is emotionally driven and no logic driven. So we got to break it down for them. That just means people will vote in their states on whether they want abortion or not. So if you really want abortion, you're going to get a vote for it. I mean, it's really sad, but understand that if abortion gets outlawed in a state, it's only going to be because the people want it. The majority want it. So No one should have a problem with that if a state doesn't really want it. Now, before we continue, though, I wanted to make a couple corrections. That bill I was talking about in California, I do not believe it has passed. Someone had told me they thought it passed, but I don't think it has passed. I think the Democrats want to pass it. And so please pray against it because, and educate people because in the language, they are aiming to be able to murder babies up to 28 days old after birth, which is infanticide. And I said something really interesting. I don't know if you guys caught it, where I was talking about the baby's bodies and I said, the word alive. I think that was really something in my spirit, because obviously most of these fetuses, by the time they sell them for, well, you know, oftentimes they sell them in pieces, but I guess if you understand abortion, the baby, well, obviously different terms are going to be different, but the baby's basically suctioned out and the body is usually ripped apart. And so the fetus usually, you know, dies before they can do something with it. But I think their goal is to be able to get these babies while they're still alive. Yes, for their organs. Yes, for the consumption of human meat. Yes, for their DNA and for their disgusting so-called medical experiments. You know, it's all abominations, really. But because we know what the evildoers do, we know they need babies for child sacrifices, which they do all the time. They need babies for their cannibalism. They need babies for raping. I'm sorry. We gotta tell it like it is. And there's more to this. This is not about women's rights. That's just the deception. That's the manipulation that they're telling the left. What they really don't want to lose is their money. There's money to be made in selling these babies' body parts. So I have a feeling that they're trying to get it where they get these babies alive. I believe that's what China does. You know, when you have more baby girls than what the law allowed, China was happy to say, oh, we will take care of that for you. And then, you know what they do with them after that. So in a lot of us have said, you know, watch what happens in China because that's what they want to do here. They just have to be more deceptive with the American people. Another way they are losing money is all the funding that Planned Parenthood gets, all the donations that all goes to the Democrat Party. And have you ever noticed how Democrat politicians, they push Planned Parenthood? It's like, for what? You know, why is there this obsession? You know, why can't it be like Save the Whales or something? Because it's about money for them. It's not about women's rights. Also, by the way, did you guys notice when I was talking about the cats, Dodie and Diana, in Diana coming back from the dead? It seemed like, you know, I meant coyotes, right? And not wolves. Oh my gosh. If you haven't ever done public speaking or just recorded yourself, you would be surprised the things that come out of your mouth that you don't even catch. That's why I have so much grace on guys like Trump, because he's got the pressure of like potentially billions of people listening to him. And he doesn't say things perfect. But I'm telling you, it's easy. It is easy to make mistakes. So praise God, you guys. I mean, you realize with this overturning of Roe versus Wade, you know, in a way we did this. God did it, really, but he used us, because you realize in a way this couldn't have happened without Trump, because this couldn't have happened without those he chose and appointed to the Supreme Court. And Trump couldn't have been president without our votes and our prayers, not to mention our prayers of overturning Roe versus Wade. So this is a victory for all of us. No, the war is not over. The battle will now go to the states. But, and you know what? And just let me just say, Because more and more patriots are hating Trump, and they're buying into the deception, trying to get us to hate him. But it's like, you guys, especially those of you that are Christians, stop denying the good that he does. Look what he made happen. That was his goal. He was to come against abortion. He is God's tool. So this fulfills prophecy once again. Man, this man, Trump, is fulfilling so many prophecies, or just, you know, is a part of them, a part of the story. But you guys have heard it from me before, but let's go ahead and review what Prophet Kim Clement said back on February 22nd, 2014.
Restoring the fortunes of Zion. I am restoring the fortunes that were the inheritance of my people. I am restoring the fortunes of those that are elect of God and had been stolen from. You shall eat your delicacies again, and your children will no longer be your food. You shall not use them and take them out of the womb.
He's saying, because this is key, I want you to notice this, because he's going to go through this really fast. Your children will no longer be your food. Weren't we just talking about cannibalism? You shall not use them. Weren't we just talking about what they do with the baby parts? And you shall not take them out of the womb anymore. So this is God coming against abortion.
Is the Lord. Watch how I change everything, for there shall be those who are in justice.
Watch how I change everything, for there shall be those who are in justice. Now he's talking about the Supreme Court justices.
There are those who are in a strong position. I'm just hearing this now.
So Kim is South African and he's not political. So he's seeing this, and we know, because the Bible says we see in part and we prophesy in part. Another translation. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I am known. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe. So Kim is just seeing these pieces in the spirit, and he's grasping for the culturally American words to use. So he said, those who are in justice, let me go back to that, who are in a strong position. So they are in an influential position. Obviously, those are the Supreme Court justices. And he says, I'm just hearing this now.
In the highest court in the land, the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, two shall step down for the embarrassment of what shall take place.
I don't think that part has happened yet. He said, two shall step down for the embarrassment of what shall take place.
But I wish to place in the highest court in the land righteousness. And they shall attempt to put others in to endeavor to reach their endeavor.
They shall attempt to put others in to endeavor to reach their endeavors. He's trying to say they're going to try and pack the court.
God says, hear me tonight. Hear me today. I have this whole thing planned out according to...
Remember that? We've talked about this before. I love that. I have this whole thing planned out. Oh, I love it.
I will. For it is now time for me to restore the fortunes of Zion. The fortunes to those that had it once. You are going to get it back. This is my promise, says the Lord of hosts. Give him a shout.
Praise God, right? Oh, thank you, Lord. This is such good news. And you know, Kim wasn't the only one that prophesied that. Let's go over and take a look at what prophetic voice Mark Taylor said. And for those of you that have heard me talk about him before, Mark Taylor is a retired firefighter. He was also the one that prophesied that Trump will be in office. That was one of the first things God told him early on. And he was also the one that prophesied that God was going to take down the drug lord El Chapo, which happened. So ironically, 2 years and 2 days from that date that God gave Kim that prophecy, so exactly 2 years and 2 days later, on February 24th, 2016, this is what he gave to Mark Taylor. And again, Mark has never claimed to be in the office of a prophet. That's why I call him a prophetic voice. But I don't know, he may actually be and is just not, you know, trying to gain honor for himself. But God has a neat way of speaking to and through him. So check this out. I'm going to read it. This is entitled, Do Not Fear America. And ironically, this is right after Justice Antonin Scalia was murdered. And again, if you haven't listened to my past episodes, I've talked about him before. Please consider going back because I really want to just keep building on the information. And I feel bad repeating things for my listeners that you have already heard it before. But Antonin Scalia was a great conservative justice. He was anti-abortion, and it is not, the official narrative is not that they murdered him, but we know that they murdered him. He was found at a ranch without his security, pillow over his face, pajamas that are completely unwrinkled, which was weird. I mean, yeah, possibly he just got into them, but did they just put him in his pajamas after they killed him? So this is God speaking after his murder. The Spirit of God says, Why do I sense fear in my people about the future of America? Have I not said that I have heard your cries and will heal your land? Stand firm. Do not falter. Put on the full armor of God. Rake the enemy over the coals, for the end time battle is on for my 1 billion souls. The Spirit of God says, Do not fear that my servant, Justice Scalia, has been taken. For some are crying out, Why have I forsaken? For I will show myself strong to prove that the so-called wise are wrong. For some will say that this is a miracle, for I am just getting started. This is not even close to the pinnacle for what I am going to do with my America. For do not my people have eyes to see and ears to hear the two signs I gave? When they carried my servant's body up the steps of the courthouse where to rest he was laid, read the signs. Dang, I don't remember what that is, you guys. We'll have to go back and look. But he says, read the signs. Read the signs that were for all to see and understand the words in this prophecy. The Spirit of God says, 5, that's right, 5 Supreme Court justices will be appointed by my new president, my anointed. I will choose 5 through my anointed to keep those alive. Okay, so the 5, that's me talking now, the 5 that voted to overturn Roe versus Wade. Well, it was 5. Alito, Clarence Thomas, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and our girl Amy Coney Barrett. God bless her. She came through for us. She just may be that Esther that Kim had prophesied. Remember, he had said, and some wonder if it's Melania, but because it talks about her beautiful eyes and how she would be like a healing balm over our land, over our nation, and that people will say to themselves, you know, we didn't like her at first, but now we love her. And I admit there were patriots that were really starting to doubt her. But now if these are people that Trump literally appoints, not just approves of, but he appoints himself in an official manner, then that means there's two more that are coming. And didn't Kim say two shall step down? So if now, maybe God really is talking about the 5 that just performed this miracle of overturning Roe versus Wade. But can you imagine if there's 2 more chosen by God that are coming? That means Trump will be back in office in order to do that. Okay, where did I end? Okay, let me just say it again. The Spirit of God says 5. That's right, 5. Supreme Court justices will be appointed by my new president, my anointed. Now, remember, this prophecy, Trump hadn't been elected yet. He didn't even win the election yet. This is early 2016, not late 2016. So Mark Taylor's writing this before Trump had even won. I will choose 5 through my anointed to keep those alive. So, you know, obviously he's already talking about saving people, you know, from abortion. Okay, back to God speaking. I will stack the court with those that I choose to send a clear message to the enemy that you lose. This is the miracle that I will perform so that my court will be reformed. The Spirit of God says, the cries that I have heard from the womb have reached my eyes and ears like a sonic boom. The 5 I appoint and the reform that shall take place. The great I am shall take on this case. For it is my will and my way for all those that have prayed. See, here's your prayers, America. That my court shall overturn Roe versus Wade. The Spirit of God says, America, get ready, for I am choosing from the top of the cream. For I am putting together America's dream team. From the president and his administration to judges and Congress to ease America's frustrations. The Spirit of God says, rise up, my army, and get in the fight. For this is the generation that's taking flight. This is the generation of warriors that those of old wanted to see. And the enemy will have no choice but to flee. Rise up, stomp the enemy's head with bliss. Send the enemy back to hell and into the abyss. This is the generation of warriors that all of hell has feared to face and see. But I am, and all of heaven is cheering you on with glee. Your supreme commander, God. Awesome, right? Wow. So yeah, just even as I was reading that, he said, my court will be reformed. So maybe this isn't the end of, I guess what I'm trying to say. I know in our hearts we're tempted to think, okay, this is as good as it's going to get, you know? But can you imagine if two more conservative justices came in? Wow, we could save this country. And, you know, this brings me to something that I already wanted to say even before Roe versus Wade was overturned, which is stop cursing America. Be careful what you say. And I understand where people are coming from, because parts of our country, there is so much evil that has infiltrated, and there is going to be a judgment coming. It's already begun, and it could be, and I believe Mark Taylor alluded to this, and another one of my friends believes this too, that as this battle now goes to the states over abortion, further judgment may come on the states that don't ban it. I mean, we've already had curses upon us by allowing this. But, and this is something also Mark Taylor pointed out, you also understand, those of you that are awake, I know you know this, the satanic pedophiles that run the world, you know they worship these demons. No, they may not realize they're demons, but we know they are. Baphomet, Molech, Baal, or Baal, they all call for child sacrifice. So knowingly or unknowingly, America was worshiping these demons and sacrificing our children to them. With this decision that the Supreme Court has just made, this just might be showing us that these demons are losing control. There's a spiritual shifting happening. This could mean blessing coming in. And we do know that is coming. There is a spiritual blessing coming to the remnant and the end time harvest. And this is part of it. So be careful what you say against America. And I would encourage you, patriots, Christ followers, veterans, truthers, remember that power of life and death is in the tongue. I know you've heard me say that so many times, but I really mean it when I say you've got to say out loud with the power that God has given you out of your mouth what you want to see. That's the main way that we fight. But I understand a lot of Christians and patriots think, oh, America's just going to hell. And they're practically proclaiming it. And they're overlooking so much goodness that we still have. I mean, we have you and I, don't we? Are we not diehard disciples of Christ? Are we not bringing about goodness and light and love around us? We are. Many of us are. And if you're not yet, I welcome you to do so. Again, you're gonna see darkness rise. Darkness is freaking out right now. They're freaking out. They're trying everything. And I'm sure you guys know, we don't even have to do an episode on it. You know all these school shootings are false flags, right? I think everybody knows. Everyone that's awake. What I don't know is, are they truly murdering, which they do sometimes, or are they acting? Are these crisis actors they're using? I don't know. If you've got proof either way, feel free to share, because it's all about educating the people around us. You know, a lot of people still believe Sandy Hook was so real and it was so traumatic for them, which is the perfect false flag, because false flags are meant to be mentally, emotionally traumatic. It's a trauma to the person. It's a trauma to the nation, because that has the greatest effect. And so if you haven't seen the documentary yet that a bunch of citizen journalists put together, it's so amazing, and it will show you clearly that Sandy Hook was a false flag and those were crisis actors. I got to be careful what I say because they are coming against people pretty hard that basically say that. So yeah, continue to bless your nation. Remember all the good that we were founded upon. Don't forget what people fought and died for and believed in. Talking about our American forefathers, we have a rich history. It is not a perfect history, but the good we can and shall hold on to, even now. America, I believe, is an end time nation to be the last beacon of freedom for this world. I believe it is our responsibility to uphold freedom. We are a people that have been called to stand against tyranny. That is the stock we come from. Don't forget that. All right, I'm gonna have to start bringing this to a close because I know some of you are asking me to try to keep it shorter and not so many topics. But I still need help video editing. So if you know a great video editor that believes in this kind of truth, please send them my way. And I'm actually, so, and you know, and if I have to put this out again with not too many visuals, I'm sorry. I've partly with the health stuff, I've been in a lot of pain actually. Just cause you know, all my research and stuff, I'm getting tendonitis and so much time on the computer, it's hurting me. So, I could put so much more out, if I didn't have to get bogged down with the video editing. So I am looking into Podbean more. It still has me nervous. I don't know if I could trust them, but I've been setting up an account there. So I don't know if this will be my first podcast I'll put on it, but, just bear in mind that soon you'll be able to follow me at Podbean. So maybe check the comments, and if maybe you're listening to it on Podbean, I don't know, we'll have to see if I can figure out how to get this on there. I'm already seeing things that I don't love that are going to be difficult. I have so many other notes. First of all, back to Pastor Paul Obel. So another thing I've been doing since is I'm writing a full article on his passing and the concerns around it. I will also put that in the comments. And that is a story that is continuing to evolve. And so I will update it as able, as kind of a lot has transpired. And I would love to, you know, do that whole thing again where I read it to you so you don't have to read it. You could just listen. We'll see. Maybe I could do that for the next episode. I'm not sure. Or we'll just keep it a written article and you guys could check it out if you want to know more. I also have wanted to ask for a while. Guys, remember? Oh, by the way, with my Ukraine versus Russia reporting, I continue to get confirmation that I was accurate. And there's so much more I want to say about that. We don't have time. The one thing I will say, though, is remember when I told you that veterans, U.S. military veterans, were going over there to volunteer and to please don't go or know what you're getting into before you go? I'm afraid that my friend went and I have not heard from him. So please pray for him. I call him Georgie. That's my nickname for him. Pray for my friend Georgie. Last I heard, he was planning to go and I assume he may have made it, and I didn't hear from him again. Now, Georgie does disappear sometimes and then he comes back. But I've written so many times that this is unusual. And I hope I have good news, and I'm still waiting. I did want to correct, I'm hearing more of the accents, and I told you about the, Donetsk People's Republic. I believe it's more properly pronounced as Donetsk. And, I also did another goofy thing. I hope you guys caught this. I think I was talking about how Putin had wanted to work with America jointly, and I accidentally said on our nuclear arms program, which, you know, that could have been possible, but I meant our missile defense systems. Oh my gosh. And I'm sorry, guys, I've got so much going on and I'm doing so much research that honestly, usually, like, it's the middle of the night, I'm recording and I'm tired, and But I promise I'll always try to come back and correct myself. But and that is a true fact that Putin did try to work together with America on our missile defense systems. So we can be transparent and not compete with each other, not in a spirit of competition. And it was the U.S. leaders that didn't want that. And we're talking about leaders before Trump. They really didn't want peace. Okay, let me see if I could squeeze in anything else. Oh, just a side note. I know a lot of my friends know, but if you heard about the fires that were happening in South Orange County, that was not brush fires. A lot of us looked very closely at it, and it appears, again, they've used some, directed energy weapons, lasers. I'm not sure exactly which one, but these are not natural fires because the homes were burning from the inside. Many of the trees between the homes that would completely burn down, mind you, these are fireproof homes, so they're burning at such a heat higher than natural fire that it burned down the fireproof stucco. But the trees between the homes wouldn't burn. And how interesting that many of the mansions burned down were Christian conservative homes. Well, here's a little tidbit, and I better wrap this up. Did I ever tell you guys what ISIS really stands for? Did you guys know it's the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service? The English name of the Mossad, basically. Isn't that funny? Yeah. A lot of the truth is right there in our faces. I'm saying that because a lot of us do believe ISIS is basically a deep state creation, probably trained and funded by our CIA, as well as the Mossad, the Israeli Mossad. People can ask, why? Well, it gets them to their goals, and it keeps people under control to have a boogeyman. I'm just saying that generally. There's more to this specifically, though. It kept the war on terror going. That brought money for them. And the war on terror was supposed to be World War III. That was their intention. The puppet masters, which I'm starting to just call them more often the New World Order. Do Christians still know what that means? I mean, that's not a Christian term. That's what they call it. And I think you guys know, you could hear old man Bush use the term in his speeches. That's their term for it. But not everyone knows what we're talking about when we say the cabal, when we talk about the Illuminati, the puppet masters. You guys know what I'm talking about, but I know it sounds like I'm being pretty vague. But for the Christians that don't want to hear any of this, you've got to understand the New World Order is here. They've been working very hard on this for decades, if not centuries. It would behoove you to at least know that. I say that because I know a lot of people don't want to hear it. All right, guys, I better wrap this up. So much more to tell you. Let's look forward to next time. For now, I welcome your comments and look forward to connecting again. And remember, especially with what we just saw happen in the highest court of the land, remember, there is always hope. Till next time.